way more than that. There's way more than brain behind your forehead. You and all that you are is behind your forehead. For contained in the frontal lobes of the brain is that we call mind, M-I-N-D. Mind is defined as a composite of all that Damon has ever seen, heard, tasted, felt, experienced. It's all right behind his forehead. It's the sum total of him. And so we should be just a bit concerned that Damon, along with the rest of us, are having our brains sealed by God. For the nervous question you should be asking yourself right now is, what does God see? Did you hear what I just asked you? When God looks in your mind, what does he see? And does he see something that he even wants to seal? For the sealing is a settling. What is the sealing?
Settling.
Talk to me. What is the sealing?
Settling.
It's a settling. The sealing is God saying, this is who they have chosen to be, and I will allow them to be that. He that is unjust, finish it with me. He that is unjust, finish it with me. Let him be. He that is righteous, let him be. He that is holy, let him be. He that is filthy, let him be. Your choice, he seals it. Say it with me. My choice, he seals it.
My choice, he seals it.
Let's pray. Teach us today, O Lord, in Christ's name, amen. So there it is. The blue part, the frontal lobes, the cerebrum, cerebellum, the medulla. Cerebrum, frontal lobes. That's where he makes decisions. That's where he does what? Then his decisions are passed into the part of the brain that produces action. And then the action part of the brain passes it to the medulla, the lower part of the brain, which connects it to the body. So what you decide here ultimately affects the entire body. Are you with me? What you decide here affects your entire body. What you decide to do here affects your entire body. There's a reason why, when the Lord takes us to heaven, listen to me, he's going to have to give us new bodies. Because our bodies have been stained for years by what we have decided here. I'll say amen for you. Your head is messed up and your body is, I'll try it again. Your head is messed up and your body is by decisions you've made here. Here are the hallways, his eyes. Remember the song? Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. You can't sing as low as me, but you can try it. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Remember that? Yeah. For the Father up above. Yeah, yeah, you know it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And everything his eyes see is recorded. permanently. You don't forget anything. Your problem is recalling it, not remembering it. It's engraved in the flesh of your brain forever. Every sound, everything he's tasted, smelled, touched, it's recorded there. And that's why stuff that you did years ago can suddenly pop up in your brain. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You can be on your knees praying. Come on now. Don't sit there pious. And dirt you did years ago. That's why David wrote, "My sins are ever present before me." You can't escape what's here. I was driving down the street one day and suddenly an old commercial I'd heard for years ago suddenly popped up. Use Ajax, boom, boom, the foaming cleansing, boom, 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 boom. And there I was in the car, just popping, just use Ajax. And the guy, where'd that come from? I hadn't heard that song in 20 years. Where was it? Now, supposing that was some act of sin. See, Satan would have you think you can control, Damon, what you see. That you can control the effect and the input. You can receive it. Hey, listen to me. You can receive it, but you can't control it. And there's this angel. And every day, fine-looking young man, isn't he? Yeah. Can you believe that I held him in my arms and dedicated him years ago? At the heaviest baby I've ever dedicated in my life. I want his dad to stand up. You'll see why. Stand up. That's his dad. Yeah, you see the reaction? Whoa. Yeah, I, the pastor held him and breathed deeply while I was holding him. Now, from the time he was born, Satan has been attacking. You know he's been attacking, don't you? Because he's attacked you, hasn't he? In fact, open your Bibles. You're done, Damon. Thank you. We're done. Revelation 12. Come on now, let's get to business. Revelation 12. It's going to be a summary sermon today because I realize I've got a lot of children. I don't want to wear them out. So Pastor's going to be about 20 minutes at this, and I'll finish up next Sabbath. Revelation 12. Yeah. Look. Revelation 12. Look at verse 9. Satan is introduced to the drama of Revelation, Brother Dunbevin. He's introduced, and then there's a description given of him. He's called Satan the dragon, all that kind of stuff, all in Revelation 12. Then in Revelation 12, verse 9, Brother Warfield, the Bible explains Satan's method. Do you see it? Come on. So the great dragon was cast out. Everybody, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who does what? Who does what? Who does what? That's mental. See, Satan's main attack on you is not physical. What is it?
Mental.
He deceives you. Genesis. Genesis 2, verse 17. I can't lean on you, so just find it as soon as you can. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Uh-oh, look at that. Of the knowledge of what? Of the what? Knowledge. Knowledge is what? Mental. So the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, do what? Don't eat. For in the day that you eat thereof, then you shall surely die. Now, Genesis 3. Yeah. Verse 1. You remember verse 1, don't you? Now the serpent was more subtle and the beasts of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea. What's the next words? Hath God said. He's now testing her mental knowledge. See, all sin starts here. You have to think it before you do it. You have to want it before you go after it. Would somebody please say amen?
Amen.
So he lets her see. And then he raises the question. Hath God said, ye may not eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden? And the woman said, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden. She knew what God had said. Her knowledge was clear. We should not eat it nor touch it lest we die. Now, God didn't say touch. He added that. It was an Eve editorial. The conversation ensues. Satan says, well, you ain't going to surely die. Then verse 6. When the woman saw that the tree was good for what? And what next? Watch. She did what? Saw. Eyes. Then what? Huh? A tree desirable touch. She took and ate. Taste. You see it? Do you see it? Is anybody listening to the sermon? She's now using three hallways to get to Eve's brain. Now, what is the most critical thing that Eve does in verse 6? Ain't none of you saying it. Huh? I think I heard it. Nah. How did the food get in her mouth? No. She decided. She decided the food does not get in her mouth because she desires it. The food does not get in her mouth because she sees it. The food does not get in her mouth because she touches it. The food gets in her mouth because she decided. She decided. You got drunk because you decided. Come on. You got lung cancer because you decided to smoke. You got caught in adultery because you decided to go to the wrong house. The place is quiet. I can't get an amen for nothing. Just a word of affirmation. Is the pastor preaching the truth? You got a ticket because you decided. The traffic was too slow. You couldn't take it. Late for work. Hit the gas. Jumped out. He's sitting there. I've been through it, folk. The most powerful thing that a human being does every day of their life is to make a
decision.
Is to make a
decision.
Now, it sounds to me, Pastor Fred, as I picture this angel now, flying in the midst of heaven. I like the way the Bible describes stuff. Real dramatic. Flying in the midst of heaven. Yeah. We can see him, can't we? Flapping them big wings. Flying. And he's got this seal. And my imagination seals this big old something in his hand, a seal. And he's walking around on people and he's going, bam, bam, bam. But what he's doing is he is sealing the results of all your decisions. Look at us. Look at the human race. We are a mess. Adam and Eve, tall, perfect, unblemished, full of stature and intelligence. You know that Ellen White writes that when Adam sees his descendants, he will weep. You think you're cute. Your daddy's going to die. He's going to cry, rather. He's going to cry. Adam sees us, he's going to say, oh, my Lord. Diminutive, midgets compared to him. Adam needed no books, never forgot anything. We need phones to make us remember what we got to do tomorrow. Diminished. But when you read the Bible, what you read is a series of decisions. Come on, y'all. And the thing got so bad. Where's my Bible? Here it is. Thing got so bad. Look at Genesis 6. Just a few chapters of bad decisions. Look at Genesis 6. I know my subject is the angel on the hunt. I know what my subject is. I'm building the background. Look at Genesis 6. Oh, my goodness. They sinned in chapter 3. Yeah. Look at verse 5 of Genesis 6. The Lord saw what? Was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart, that's mind in the Hebrew, was what? Come on, Tanya. They've gone from one bite of fruit till now. They can't do anything but think evil. We're three chapters later, Taff. See, when you started that foolishness, you had no idea where it was going to lead you, did you? Come on, somebody, get honest. You just thought you were having fun, going to take a little marijuana, going to do it. You just thought you can't handle sin because your mind was not created to handle sin. Sin is stronger than you. Sin is bigger than you. Sin is older than you. Sin is older than you. Sin is older than the human race because sin started in heaven. So by the time Adam was made, sin was already a veteran. Here's this angel. Now here's what concerns me. I read my Bible, Warfield. According to Revelation, the sixth chapter, under the sixth seal, is everybody still paying attention? Under the sixth seal, the second coming of the Lord is pictured. But before he comes, the sign and the sun, remember that? The moon and the stars. Well, we know from the sermons I've preached thus far, those events took place between 1780 and 1833. As soon as they take place, they're shown the Lord coming. And then in chapter 8 is the seventh seal. The Lord has already come, which means that the sealing work is taking place between 1833 and the Lord's coming, which means the sealing work is taking place. You're sitting in church here. Join this sermon. And the angel is flying. Looking for brains. But what is he looking for in those brains? Somebody said righteousness. Somebody said character. What is the most important relationship on the face of the earth? Go ahead, America. Listen to the pastor. I'm going to close in the next 10 minutes. It's just a taste of it. Did you hear what Brother Warfield said? Is this your daddy? He's a smart fella. He said, oh, Lord have mercy. Warfield said he's looking for a relationship. Let's go back to Genesis 3. Let's go back there. Because before she ate the fruit, they had a perfect what? Relationship. That's the word that Pastor Kelly hammered into our hearts last week. Relationship. It was broken in chapter 3. God's relationship with the human race was broken because it was a relationship of love. And when Eve did disobeyed God, the brain developed a vacuum. Nature does not sustain a vacuum. Something had to fill it. So love was replaced with rebellion. And the only way that you can see God again is to renew the relationship. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Warfield. God bless that man. He said it. Cuts 3 minutes out of my sermon. I can shorten it even more now. Brother got to it. Picture, picture, picture. Genesis 3. Let's go see it. I want you to see. I'm not making this up. Relationship was broken. God came down and visited them, Yannick, every evening. Can you imagine having evening worship with God?
Hallelujah.
And they had conversations, deep conversations. In fact, Ellen White says, he was revealing unto Adam the secrets of creation. They had conversations on a level we can't even imagine. And Adam was smart as a whip. He'd proven that because he named every animal. As soon as he woke up, what's that elephant? What's that rabbit? What's that giraffe? God nodded, everything's working. It's all working. Smart as a whip. Didn't forget anything. Perfect relationship. Look what happened. Genesis 3. This thing is so painful. Verse 7. Eyes of them both were open. See that? They knew they were buck naked. Oh, the word buck's not in there, but anyhow. And they sowed what? Yeah. They're doing what we do. They're doing what we do. When we make bad decisions and we have to reap the results, we put on fig leaves. I'll say amen for you. And you know, apron says aprons. Aprons do not cover you. With aprons, everything sticks out in back.
Yes.
Are you with me, saints? So here they are, red big people walking around in aprons. Fig leaves. A couple of fig trees ain't got nary a leaf on them. Ain't going to have no leaf for years. Here they are. Now watch. Verse 8, heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife did what? They did what? That announces what has happened. What is that verse telling you has happened? The relationship has been broken. So, Jari, what the Lord is up to then, he wants you in your lifetime to rebuild the broken relationship by falling in love with Jesus. Statement of fact. Here it comes. Of all the emotions on the world to manifest, of all the emotions in the human culture to manifest, the hardest thing in the world to do consistently is to love. Let all the married folks say aloud amen.
Amen.
Honesty is good for the soul. When you can live with somebody, keep your eyes straight forward now, couples. Don't be nudging each other and doing stuff like this. When you can live with somebody day after day, and then from the depths of your heart say, I love you. Come on, somebody. Somebody celebrate the power of love. Come on. All the married folks ought to say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. You know it takes something beyond you. Because now you've seen the person as they really are. Can I get a witness? All the covers have been taken off. Can I get a witness? Bad breath, sweet breath, smelly feet, sweet feet. Come on, somebody. And you say, I love you. You know that love has got to be something special. Because if it wasn't, you'd pack up, Get on out and say, what's this stuff called marriage? Who told me this was going to work? But love keeps you there. Can I get a witness? And God is taking no one to heaven who can't love him good, bad, better, best, when he does what you want, when he does what you don't want, when he does what you like, when he does what you don't like. If he can't trust you that way, he will not take you to glory. And so the angel is hunting for brains full of love for God. You can't fool him, you know. God has X-ray vision. Talk about Superman, he got X-ray vision. He knows my thoughts. You can sit in church on Sabbath. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And he knows. You can't wait until Pastor Wright shuts up. He knows that. He knows that. Oh, he knows. He knows. God is good. Praise his name. Sitting on his tithe. Sitting on his tithe. Play comes by. You don't take your wallet out. I love you, Lord. You're good to me. Walk right out with his tithe in your pocket. Here's the question. Here's the question. Play something. I'm done. Here's the question. I told you, it's going to be short. I told you. Got all these kids, can't wear them out preaching. With the rest of the sermon? Next week ain't J&A. Come on back. Here's the question. How do you really feel about God? There's that prayer you prayed. He's not answered it. And he's probably not going to answer it. There's that job you want. You don't have it. You may never get it. As long as you continue to treat God like a slot machine, only judging him as good when he does what you want, you're not in love with him, and he will not seal you for eternity. Love just loves. I have a taste of it. Carol Wright loves her husband. Now, if you really knew me, you'd say, yes, she really must be in love. No, you say, oh, yeah, she's in love. I experience it in so many ways. She's sweet as sugar. And what I like about my wife is, you talk about the love of God. I mean, Carol really has seen me at my worst. That's none of your business. Don't be asking, well, what's his worst? Ain't none of your business. She's seen me at my worst. Right there. And she has the kind of love that God has. Never underestimate that little woman I'm married to. What is necessary, she will get up in my face. And them green eyes turn purple. And I know it's going to be a long week. I didn't say day, week. Are you listening to me? If in fact you accept the love of God, you have to accept that He will treat you as you need to be treated. See, folk, nobody is going to heaven who keeps on trying to manipulate God's love. You're a mess. He knows it. He's going to deal with you as you have needs. And some of us, before we get fixed, are going to get broken. And when you're sinking in the Galilean sea of your own foolishness, and you cannot find your way to shore, and you cry out from the depths of your soul, "Lord, save me!" Without rancor, without giving you a list of books to read, without quoting from the spirit of prophecy, no text from His mouth, He reaches down into the sea of your life and pulls you up next to Him, carries you to the boat of safety. That's the God I love. But you will not have that experience until you get helpless. Stop faking. Why go to hell sitting in church? Stop faking. These are the last days. The angels flying. You got no. Stop. I don't care what title you wear. Deacon, elder, pastor, choir member. It makes no difference. He sees. He looks right through your forehead and sees you as you are, and He loves you. He would just like to see some love in return. Do you love God? Next week, I'll get into the details and break down what the seal really is. Today, I've just told you what He's looking for. What's He looking for? Yeah. Manifested in love. Let's live to give Him what He's looking for. Love has to be practiced. My wife and I are an old couple, but we've gotten into the texting, you know, and the little hearts and stuff. We call them emojis. Okay, emojis, whatever you folk call them, we use them. She'll text me a bunch of hearts, and I'll text her some flowers and hearts back. Because sometimes love goes beyond words. Somebody say amen out there. You cannot express what you feel. And now the phones have given me some, what do you call them, emojis. Is that what you call them, four field emojis? And I just be pumping them, man. Just a bunch of flowers, a bunch of hearts. I wanted to know it's real. God needs to find out once and for all from you that it's real. You young folk, coming to church because your parents make you, that ain't nothing. That ain't religion. See, obedience is not religion. That bothered you. Loving is religion. And then that produces obedience. So here you are. Here I am. And the angels fly right now. Bow your head. Bow your head. Bow your head. Balcony, bow your head. Close your eyes. Now. Lord, help us. We think we're going to fool you with rules and regulations, acts and deeds. You want our hearts, and the rest will take care of itself. Now, the thing, Jesus, as you know, I talked to you about this last night. I've been trying to figure out, in all the years I preach about the seed, I'm trying to figure out, does the angel ever fly over and come back? I don't know the answer. I just don't want him to give up. So, Lord, I open my thoughts, my life to you right now. You see it. Forgive me. Cover me with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Because ultimately what you're sealing is no goodness in me, but my relationship with my Savior. He covers me, and if that relationship is tight, you can seal Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. But I don't want any raised hands. I want you to pray. I want you to pray. You're watching online right now. Pray. As Anwar has said, and has played rather, falling in with love with you, Jesus, is the best thing I'll ever do. Now, I'm not led by your spirit right now, Lord, to make any kind of an appeal, so I won't. I'll let them pray. Whatever it is the Holy Spirit is telling you to do, do it. Pick up a card and sign it, do it. Send me an email or contact this week, do it. Stop by on the door with me, do it. Just know this, the angel is on the hunt. Jesus' name, amen. God bless.